Good morning, church. It's great to have you with us as we worship the risen Christ today. If you are new to Friendship, I believe you'll find this to be a place where we are passionate about infusing life and God's love into the lives of others as we engage in worship, worship that we believe is both relevant and practical. We are committed to providing a place where people can have a life-changing experience with God. That's what we're about here at Friendship. Today, we are in week four of a seven-part series where we're exploring the I am statements of Jesus. In the Gospel of John, Jesus made these statements. He said things like, I am the bread of life. And we looked at that a few weeks ago. We explored those words and what they meant. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Last week, we studied the statement, I am the door. And we had a door right here in the middle of the aisle. And we had six people last week walk through that door and connect with our Friendship family. And so we're excited about what God is doing as we study God's Word. In these I am statements, Jesus is revealing himself as the long-expected Messiah. He's connecting himself to the provision and the promises of God in the Old Testament. These are statements of Jesus proclaiming to be God. His words shocked the crowds. He offended the religious leaders, but his followers bowed down in worship. These metaphors of the Messiah, they are rich in meaning. His words are comforting, and yet there's more than meets the eye. And so I hope that you're ready to go deep today. In the I am statement that we're going to focus on today, Jesus identifies himself as the good shepherd. John chapter 10, verse 11, look with me. Jesus declared, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. So Jesus claims to be what? What did he say? He says, I am the good shepherd. What does a good shepherd do? He explains to us. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. Church, Jesus is the good shepherd. We think about the gospel. The word gospel means good news. It is good news that Jesus, the good shepherd, was willing to die in your place and in mine. Amen? It's good news. The fact that Jesus said, I am the good shepherd, implies that there are others who are not so good. In fact, Jesus doesn't just imply that, but look in John chapter 10, verse 1. Truly, truly, I say to you, the one who does not enter by the door into the fold of the sheep, but climbs up some other way, he is a thief and a robber. So Jesus points out that anyone who sneaks over the wall of the sheepfold rather than going through the gate must be a thief, must be a robber. Obviously, Jesus was referring to our spiritual enemy. Friend, we have an enemy and his name is Satan. And Satan is the prince of darkness. Satan hates God. He hates God's people. The enemy's mission is to steal, kill, and destroy everything that matters to the heart of God. And I think that you would agree with me that there is a power of evil in this world today that is destroying a lot of things that matter to God, a lot of things that matter to us as God's people. We know that there are a lot of people who are sick. We know that there are families that are falling apart. We know that there are marriages that are in trouble, that there are kids who are making bad decision after bad decision. We see it with our government, this Equality Act that's being brought before the government right now. Church, that is a lie from the pit of hell. It's where that originated. I mean, there is nothing about equality in that statement. It's about restricting religious freedom is what that's about. And I believe at the root of all of these things, the force behind all of these things that are spiraling out of control is the thief and the robber. Jesus clearly communicated the mission of our spiritual enemy. John 10:10. Jesus said the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. But he goes on and he said, but my purpose. Jesus says, I have come that you would have life and have it abundantly. So let me be very clear. Jesus is the good shepherd. And if Jesus is the good shepherd, then who are we in the Messiah's metaphor? If he's the good shepherd, then what are we? We're sheep, right? And we know from understanding other messages that maybe you've heard or what you've read, we know that being referred to as a sheep isn't necessarily a compliment, right? We understand that. I need to point out, sheep are mentioned more than any other animal in all of Scripture. Sheep are most commonly mentioned about 200 times in the Bible, you'll find a reference to sheep. How many of you like dogs? Anybody like dogs? Dogs are mentioned 44 times in the Bible. How many like cats? Cats are mentioned 0 times in the Bible. Unless you're talking about a lion who's part of the cat family, and the Bible does say Satan is like a roaring, help me out, a roaring lion. So you see the connection, right, between Satan and cats? Cats are creepy animals, I'm telling you. So you and I, as followers of Christ, we are sheep. And again, that's not exactly great news, because we know that sheep are not very intelligent. They're some of the stupidest animals on earth. Think about it. When you go to the circus and you see all of these animals that are highly trained, what do you see? You see monkeys. You see elephants. Sometimes you see dogs. Maybe you've even been to a flea circus and you've watched fleas do all of these amazing things. One thing you're not likely to see at a circus is a sheep. Not going to be there. Sheep are not very bright. In fact, the only way to make a sheep play dead is to shoot it, and it only works once. And then it's game over. So sheep are incredibly stupid creatures. And I just need to say, and I say this with all the love of Jesus, friend, as sheep, I'm stupid. And so are you. We're not the most intelligent. And so let's talk about some of the characteristics of sheep. Four things. First of all, know that sheep are easily lost. And some of us can relate. Some of you looking at your husband saying, maybe that explains why you have no sense of direction. I got a friend of mine, I think he could get lost walking down his driveway. It's that bad. No sense of direction at all. Sheep are easily lost. In the Old Testament, listen to this, Isaiah 53:6. All of us like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. It is incredibly common for sheep to walk away from the shepherd's fold. Sheep will think, well, I think I'm going to go this way. There's something over here that might make me happy. And so they wander off the path and they wander into another area and they get lost rather easily. And friend, that's where many of us are today. We are trying to figure out life. We're trying to figure things out, and we keep making bad decision after bad decision. You say, why is that? It's because sheep without a shepherd are easily lost. A second challenge about being sheep is that sheep are defenseless. They're defenseless. It's interesting, when you think about almost every animal, most animals have some form of defense, right? I mean, take a cat. I mean, even a cat can claw your eyes out. So most animals have something. Some animals, they're able to protect themselves because they have fangs or they have horns. Some animals can kick. Some can fly away. Some run really fast. Some animals, really cool, they can blend into their environment. But sheep don't do any of those things. They are totally defenseless. Bad joke coming. I'm just warning you. Here it goes. When you attack a sheep, you know what they can do? A sheep will say, back off. I warned you. I'll be back at 6 o'clock tonight if any of you want to come back. But listen, on our own, we, without being connected to the body of Christ, without daily putting on the armor of God, without the protection of the good shepherd, what happens is that you and I become very vulnerable to the lies of the evil one. That's why it's important that we're able to gather together as a body of Christ, because without that layer of protection, we are easy prey. Many of us as sheep, we are believing the lies, and we are living a life that leads to death and destruction. So sheep are easily lost. They are defenseless. Number three, sheep are very stubborn. They're very stubborn. Look at the person next to you and say, I think he's talking about you. Now, some of you aren't going to do that, and the reason you're not going to do that is because you're very what? You're very stubborn. Sheep are extremely stubborn. I read that sheep will walk in between two rocks, and they will get lodged in. They will get stuck, and they're not smart enough to put it in reverse. I mean, if you ever follow a herd of sheep, you're never going to hear the sound beep, beep as they're backing up. Doesn't happen with a herd of sheep, a flock of sheep. They just keep pressing in. They'll just keep pushing themselves forward, and they get themselves even more stuck. How many of you know someone like that? Someone who is stubborn. Sheep, they are easily lost. They're defenseless. They're stubborn. A fourth challenge of being a sheep is that sheep are filthy. They are filthy, and that's not good news. You might think, well, I've seen sheep on TV, and they're always white and fluffy. If you've seen sheep that are white and fluffy, they've been pressure washed. I mean, sheep are nasty. They are filthy. They stink. They don't have the ability to clean themselves, and they won't. And if I can just say this very respectfully, friend, that is the way that you and I are in the eyes of our God. When we choose to do life independent of a personal relationship with Him. I hear people say sometimes, well, he sure is a good guy. She sure is a great person. Can I just say that in the eyes of God, we're actually not good? In the eyes of God, we are dirty. We are sinners who are falling short of God's standard of perfection. The bottom line is that sheep need a shepherd. Friend, you and I need a Savior. We need Jesus, and without Him, we are vulnerable to the lies of the evil one. I believe that's why it's such good news. When Jesus announced in John chapter 10, verse 11, He said, I am the good shepherd. And the good shepherd lays down His life for His sheep. So during the rest of our time together this morning, I want to show you some incredible qualities of the good shepherd. And my prayer is that you and I will connect these qualities of the good shepherd to your heart and to my heart, and that we will apply these to our everyday lives. The first incredible quality of the good shepherd is that the good shepherd guides. Everyone say, the good shepherd guides. Psalm 23:1, David said, the Lord is my shepherd. I will not be in need. In verse 2, he adds, he lets me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. Church, the Lord guides us along the right path. Have you ever had a big decision to make and you're not sure what to do? Does God want me here? Does God want me there? I'm not sure what I'm supposed to do. The scripture says that when we seek the Lord, He will reveal Himself to us. And friend, He does so because He's the good shepherd and He guides. In John chapter 10, verses 3 and 4, Jesus said to him, He's referring to the sheep, the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep do what? What does He say? This is so rich. The sheep listen to His voice. And He calls His own sheep by name and He leads them out. And when all His own sheep, when He puts all of them outside, the good shepherd goes ahead of them and the sheep follow Him. Why? Because they know His voice. So the good shepherd, He guides them. And I don't want you to miss this. This is so powerful. The sheep know, they recognize the voice of the good shepherd. I've been asked before, Pastor, when God speaks to you, how do you hear God speak? Do you hear Him speak in an audible voice? I haven't, but I believe God could if He wanted to. I have no problem with that whatsoever. But God speaks to me through His Word. God speaks to me through circumstances. God speaks to me through other believers. God speaks in a variety of ways, and those who belong to Him, those sheep who belong to Him, we recognize His voice. We listen for His voice. And some of you may say, but Jason, I don't know the voice of God. I can't recognize when God's talking to me. It's probably because of one of two things. Let's just imagine for a moment that you walked into a room and there's 50 women in that room. And let's just imagine, I know this would be odd, but let's imagine that all 50 women were talking, okay? All 50 women, they're talking at the same time. Women can multitask. 50 people can be talking and they can understand the conversations going on around them. And if I said to you, look, these 50 women, they're all talking. Do you recognize my wife's voice? And if you said to me, I don't think I do, it would tell me one of two things. Either you don't know my wife or you've not spent enough time with her to recognize her voice. Here's what I promise you. You could put a blindfold on me. Walk me into that same room with 50 women talking all at the same time and blindfolded, give me just a minute and I would be able to walk exactly in front of my wife. Why? Why? Because I know her and I recognize her voice. I've spent time with her so that I know those things. Church, the good news is that our good shepherd, if you are one of his sheep, he calls us by name. I mean, if you don't recognize the voice of the good shepherd, maybe it's because you don't know him. Or perhaps it's because you haven't spent enough time with him yet to learn to recognize his voice. Our God is a personal God. Our God is a relational God. He calls us by name. When someone calls you by name, it changes everything. And that's who our God is. So if you've got a difficult decision to make, should I take this job in another city? Should I stay where I am? Should I keep dating this person or maybe not? Should we try to have more kids? Should we connect with this church or maybe it's a church down the road? Here's what I do when I'm making decisions. I will say to God, look, you are the good shepherd. You are my guide, and my job is to follow you. And so, God, you show me the way. You show me your will, and I will follow you wherever you want me to go. And I think approaching decisions that way, it takes the pressure off of me, and it puts the pressure on God. God, you reveal your will. You show me what you want me to do, and I will follow you. And so we put the pressure on God to provide direction for us. The good shepherd guides. A second quality of the good shepherd is that the good shepherd provides. He not only guides us, but he provides for us. He provides for his own. Let's go back to Psalm 23 again. David said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I will not be in need. He lets me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for the sake of his name." I've read that sheep won't lie down until three conditions have been met. First, they have to be well fed. If they're not well fed, they won't lie down. They need to be getting along with the other sheep, or they will not lie down. And thirdly, they have to feel safe, or they will not take a rest. Friend, when we are in the presence of the Good Shepherd, the one who leads us to green pastures, we're full because we've been in his presence. And we're able to get along. Listen, all of this quarantining at home, and some of you doing school at home, we need the presence of God to come through our homes. Amen? We need the healing that God's presence brings, right? When the good shepherd is present, sheep are not afraid because he is their defender, which means that they will rest. David went on in verse 2 of Psalm 23. He says, he leads me beside quiet waters. You ever wonder, why did the psalmist say quiet waters? It's because sheep will not drink from rushing water. Why? Because they often fall in, and imagine this woolly sheep, looks like a cotton ball, right? Floating down the river in rushing water. That they drowned. And so sheep will not drink from rushing water. So what does the shepherd do? The good shepherd leads them beside the quiet waters. In verse 3, the psalmist says, he restores or refreshes my soul. Friend, God is such a good provider. He doesn't just provide for us materially, but he provides what we need deep in our souls. Some of you, you've got everything that you need on the outside, but inwardly, your soul is not at rest. You are a sheep without a shepherd. And listen, because our good shepherd is so loving in his provision, he refreshes our soul. He restores our soul. It means that inwardly, it means that you and I can be at peace. And the amazing thing is that with everything going on around us, it can be spiraling out of control. The things around us could be unraveling. But if we are under the care of the good shepherd, even though everything around us is not, we can be at perfect peace, a peace that surpasses all understanding. Why is that? It's the presence of the good shepherd. The one who refreshes our soul. Our soul is at rest. We are at peace on the inside because we know that the good shepherd cares for us. The good shepherd, he guides and he provides. A third quality is that the good shepherd also corrects. He corrects. And that may not seem like good news at the time, but it is good news that the shepherd loves you. He loves you enough to correct you when you are wandering into danger. I think about Job. Job knew this truth very well. Job chapter 5, verses 17 and 18. Job said, "Blessed is the one whom God corrects." Church, you should consider yourself blessed when God loves you enough to discipline you when you're heading in the wrong direction. That God cares enough that he will actually keep you out of trouble. Job said, "Blessed is the one whom God corrects. So do not despise the discipline of the Almighty. For he inflicts pain and gives relief. He wounds and his hands also heal." Now that seems like an odd thing for God to do. For us to think that God wounds and then he binds up. For us to think that God inflicts pain and then he gives relief. I've read that a loving shepherd, what he would sometimes do for a little lamb that kept wandering off, it was common for a lamb to leave the flock. And when he did, he became vulnerable to wolves, to falling off a cliff. And so the good shepherd, he would take a rod, and this rod, well, it was about 2 feet long. It was a weapon. But that shepherd would take that rod, and he would crack the legs of that lamb. Now, it sounds cruel, but let me tell you what the good shepherd would do. He would take that little lamb, and he would place that lamb on his shoulders. And that shepherd would carry that lamb everywhere that he went. Everywhere that lamb needed to go, the shepherd would see that he got there. The good shepherd, he would keep that lamb close to him. He would nurse him back to health. The lamb would grow up and he would be completely dependent upon the shepherd. That lamb, as he was on the shoulders of the shepherd, he would learn the voice of the shepherd. And that shepherd would carry that lamb wherever he needed to go. And over the course of a lifetime, that little lamb would become almost like a pet, because he had been so cared for by the good shepherd. The lamb would never run off again. Why? Because he had learned to trust and he'd learned to recognize the voice of the good shepherd. Church, I think that's similar to the discipline of God in your life and in mine. Let's suppose we had a small child and they're running toward a box fan. You know what I'm talking about, a box fan? And up in the corner of that box fan, the screen's kind of tore a little bit. The plastic's been busted out. And you watch this small child, and they're walking towards that fan, and they've got their hand out, and you know what's about to happen, right? They're going to stick their fan in there. They want to know what might happen. And so you don't have time to speak, so you just dive on that child. And you knock that child down, and you knock them out of the way of the box fan. That child's going to get up and look at you and say, "What in the world are you doing to me? You are a mean person. I can't believe you would take me out like that." The child doesn't comprehend what a loving thing you have just done for them. Yes, you knocked them out of the way, but you knocked them out of the way of harm. You potentially protected their fingers from being severed off. Friend, there are times when our good and loving God lets us face the consequences of our own stupid decisions in order to protect us from making more stupid decisions, which will lead to even more harm. That is an example of how our God loves us and how he cares for us. Our good shepherd corrects. And I'll be honest with you, no one sits around thinking, "I believe God's disciplining me and this is going to be great." Nobody says, "God, sock it to me." Nobody does that. My kids didn't do that when they were at home. And I disciplined my kids. They didn't say, "Oh, praise the Lord. Dad's not going to let us hang out with our friends this week." Logan didn't say, "Maybe he'll take our phones away too." I mean, that didn't happen. No one responds like that. But listen. Listen to what Scripture says. Hebrews 12:11. "For the moment, all discipline seems not to be pleasant, but painful." It's painful. "Yet to those who have been trained by it, afterward it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness." Friend, our good shepherd loves us enough to correct us. And he corrects us in order to keep us out of further harm. He guides, he provides, he corrects. And number four, the good shepherd protects. He protects. Listen to what the Bible says in Psalm 23:4. David said, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. Why? For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." David testified that even when he was walking through the darkest valley, he wasn't afraid. David said, "I'm not afraid because the good shepherd is with me." And as long as the good shepherd was with David, David had nothing to fear. Friend, when the good shepherd is with me, I am at perfect rest. And when the good shepherd is with me, I am at perfect peace. When God is with me, I know that he is working in all things to bring about good for those who love him, those who are called according to his purpose. David said, "Your rod," that rod was a weapon to protect the sheep, "your rod and your staff, they comfort me." The shepherd would take his staff and he would use that hook when a sheep would back into rocks and hem himself in. The shepherd would take that staff and he would reach in and he would gently pull that lamb back out of that place. He would pull them out of danger. David went on in verse 5 to say, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows." I don't know about you, but these words bring great comfort. You say, what does this mean? Well, sheep are stinky animals. That they smell, there are flies everywhere. I've read that it was not uncommon for a fly to fly up the nose of a sheep. And once they got in the nose of that sheep, they would lay eggs and those larvae would hatch. And the larvae would get inside the nose and even into the brain of the sheep. And they would literally drive the sheep so crazy that they would bang their head up against a rock, almost to the point of killing themselves. When David says, "You anoint my head with oil," he's referring to oil being used as an insect repellent. He's saying, look, I take care of my sheep. I protect them. I use oil to protect that which irritates them. Then at the end of verse 5, David said, "My cup overflows." There is a tradition in Palestinian homes where a guest was allowed to stay at the table of the host as long as they continue to fill your cup. As long as your cup's full, you're welcome to stay. But the moment that your cup ran empty and they didn't fill it back up, what does that mean? It's time to pack it up and go, right? It's time to hit the road. It was a signal that it was time for you to go. David said, "My cup overflows." He is pointing out the truth that he was always welcome in the presence of the Good Shepherd. Friend, the Good Shepherd is good. He loves you so much. Verse 6 of Psalm 23, David said, "Certainly goodness and faithfulness will follow me all the days of my life, and my dwelling will be in the house of the Lord forever." The Good Shepherd protects me. And church, that doesn't mean that we will never face physical harm, but he means that in spiritual terms, it means that God has provided an inheritance for us, an inheritance in heaven that will never spoil, it will never perish, it will never fade. We have the security that in Christ we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Friend, the Good Shepherd is the one who will lay down his life for the sheep. Jesus told a parable in the Gospels. He said that if a shepherd has 100 sheep and only one of those sheep wander away, what will the shepherd do? He leaves the 99 to search and to pursue the one. Friend, this entire message this morning, it might just be for you. You may be the one. You might be the sheep that needs the good shepherd, and the shepherd is coming for you. Friend, God loves you that much. If you feel this message is just for you, that God is speaking directly to you, guess what? He may be. You may be the one that he is coming for. The good shepherd wants you to know him because he is so good. Listen, there is one that is not good. Remember, the enemy wants to steal, kill, and destroy. But our good shepherd came that we might have life, life abundantly. He loves you so much that he would lay down his life so that you could experience his unconditional love and life-changing power. Some of you have some decisions to make. You're facing some crossroads in life and you've got some decisions to make. Let me tell you this morning that God is your guide and he will guide you. He will reveal himself to you if you will seek him. You need him as your guide. Some of you came in here on empty. God wants you to be, he wants to be your provider. And you're running on empty. You're maybe worried about some things. You need to rest in the presence of God. You need to rest in the protection of the Good Shepherd. Ask the Lord to help you recognize his voice. Ask him to help you trust in him. For some of you, you realize that you are wandering aimlessly. You're looking for something to fill that emptiness in your life, but regardless of what you try, you're still empty. Life is without hope and peace and purpose. You might even think, well, I've done so many things wrong that I'm not even sure that God could even love someone like me. And let me tell you, Jesus loves the sheep. Yes, the sheep are sinful, but he still loves the sheep. He will leave the 99 to go after what? To go after the one. God loves you so much that he did for you what you were incapable of doing for yourself. Jesus became sin for you. He died and was raised to life so that anyone, and that includes you and me, that anyone who calls upon his name will be saved. Church, God will leave the 99 and he will go after the one sheep that has wandered away. Some of you right now, you say, that's me. That's me. I'm the one. I'm a sheep and I need the good shepherd. Are you willing to turn from your sin today? Would you place your trust in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life? Friend, when you surrender your life to him, God promises that he will forgive your sins and that he will make you brand new. And if that's your prayer, then right where you are, you just tell him. Just say to him this morning, God, I am outside your flock, but today I give my life to you. God, by faith, I am turning away from sin and I'm putting all of my trust, all of my confidence in you. God, my life is no longer my own as I surrender myself fully to you today. Friend, the Bible teaches that we need to let others know of our life-changing decision. In just a moment, when the congregation stands to sing, I'd be happy to meet you down front. I'd be happy to pray with you. I'd be happy to answer your questions about what it means to follow Christ. Maybe you're watching online. Leave us a message, and one of our pastors will reach out to you soon. Friend, we want to celebrate with you. We want to provide all the resources that you will need so that you can grow in your new relationship with Christ. Maybe God's leading you to connect with the friendship family. Friend, if God's speaking to you, if he's placing that upon your heart, then you come this morning and you unite with this church family. Would you pray with me? Father God, we thank you for your word. Father, we thank you for your spirit. It helps us to understand the scriptures and helps us to apply your word to our lives. God, we recognize you this morning as the good shepherd. Father, we desperately need you. We get lost easy. We're stubborn. Father, we need a shepherd. We need a good shepherd. One who's willing to lay down his life for his sheep. Father, thank you for your love for us. Thank you for dying for us. God, we pray that you continue to provide all that we need. God, you guide us. You provide for us. You correct us. You protect us. Lord, keep our eyes focused on you as you mold and shape us to be more like your son, Jesus. God, I pray for those who are here this morning who don't know you. Father, for those who don't recognize your voice, it's because they either don't know you or they've not spent enough time with you that they learn to recognize your voice. And either way, something needs to change. So, Father, for those who are without a relationship with you, for those who are doing life independent of your direction, independent of a relationship with you, God, we pray that today would be the day of salvation. That, Father, you would bring an awareness of need, conviction of sin. God, I pray that lives will be changed forever because of the drawing of your Spirit in this place today. God, I pray for believers who are looking for a place to connect. It's important that we believe, God, but we also need a place where we would belong. So, Lord, you continue to draw folks to friendship as you desire. And may we be obedient as we hear your voice, that we will follow you. Father, we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.